We had been working with this customer for some years now, and I had built a good rapport with Mike, the customer counterpart. It started as a smooth ride. One thing led to another, and there were contractual milestones totaling around $2 million outstanding and over $1 million worth of out-of-scope work completed. Well, I didn't follow through on the outstanding invoices for some months. Mike told me that there was a routine holdup at their headquarters, and the payments would come through soon. I took his word for it. And now the customer has defaulted on all payments. Turns out, they were funded by a venture capital group that decided to put the study on hold. Sure it was. I should have paid more attention to the accounts receivable situation and escalated concerns immediately within Quintiles. In my defense, my first level of contact was Mike and his team. It did not occur to me that there could be another group involved. Well, from what I've learned, most projects will have a diverse number of stakeholders, depending on their size, type, and complexity. I've learned that clarifying and resolving issues in a timely manner would also help in managing expectations in the long run. In hindsight, I also feel that I didn't know enough about the project. I missed out on a lot of crucial aspects about the project. After the therapeutic strategy lead handed over the pre-award risk register to me, I did the regular scan of the document and shared some inputs with him. We were complacent with the risks that were identified during the proposal development and the various startup meetings. You know the irony? Some of the risks we encountered eventually were issues that had happened in a similar project before. If only I had leveraged that information. I think everybody just assumed that we were sorted. We took a lot of things for granted. I realize now how it would have helped me to go through all the documents. However, I did go through some of the documents. That's when I realized that there are competing studies in the same city. I had updated the initial risk log and documented this risk, too. There were competing studies in the same city. How do we do that? I wish I had known this before. That is incredibly helpful. In Quintiles, risk breakdown is generally done by operational area. This would help you to track through action owners and the stage of the project. There are indication-specific risks, those which are common in studies of a specific therapeutic indication. There are population-specific risks, and then, of course, there are customer-specific risks. You saw an example of a customer-specific risk in my previous case. Another thing that I've seen happen sometimes is that the customer will have kept certain tasks for itself, for instance, protocol development. Whenever Quintiles is not responsible for a part of the trial setup or conduct, there is an associated risk that the customer team will not deliver on its task and that this will delay other trial activities. I'd like to add here that we use the probability and impact grid to evaluate each risk's importance and priority for attention. Such a grid, also referred to as the risk heat map, specifies combinations of probability and impact that help rate risks as low, moderate, or high priority. During quantitative analysis, the risk heat map comes into play. In my case, since the stakeholders were not accurately identified, we didn't have a clear reflection of the potential risk to the project. As a result, the risk register was incomplete. Additionally, you should refer to the document that I referred to in order to learn about the risk responses and the other terms and terminologies around risk management. I struggled initially when I was new, since I had a hard time understanding the terms used. I used to ask my team members time and again to help me understand certain terms. Eventually, I failed to inspire confidence in the customers and team. I could do that. Are you aware of the project lifecycle at Quintiles? I understand, Alex. It is your project at the end of the day, and you are accountable for it. Don't you worry. You'll walk out of this room a wiser man. You're right about the four phases. In my previous project, some sites were still hung up on approvals from the regulatory authorities, while others had already started enrolling patients. This delayed my project, but we had taken this into account. I knew that there had been regulatory approval delays in other similar projects. So, I had to oversee risks for both setup and startup phase and conduct phase at the same time. Absolutely. Well, yeah, that was in the pre-award risk assessment. I think we need to take it from the start. Is that okay? So, during the first phase, that is the pre-award phase, what I did and what you are expected to do is review the pre-award risk assessment created by the TSL. Yes, in order to do that, you need to understand the contractual obligations, for example, the master services agreement, and any work orders that are applicable, especially the bonus and penalty clauses. Oh, no, no, no. It's not the be-all and end-all of all the risks identified, and is not a comprehensive project risk assessment. You should always add or update the risks. As a project leader, once the project is awarded, you are expected to conduct a comprehensive risk assessment involving the key stakeholders and repeat this at regular intervals. You see, issues can arise at any stage. They need to be escalated appropriately. That's been a lesson for me. If not escalated and resolved in a timely manner, they can impact the delivery of project deliverables and, potentially, the relationship with the customer. All functional leads and project teams have the responsibility to escalate issues, whether they were or weren't previously identified as a risk. This escalation can be to the project leader for project issues or within their functional area for non-project issues. As far as the risks are concerned in this phase, the TSL identifies the strategy selection of the countries. If the delivery strategy is flawed, it will lead to operational delivery difficulties for you and the team. You may encounter a delay in recruitment owing to various factors. The enrollment timelines may be jeopardized due to many factors, like the complexity of the protocol, with multiple outpatient visits, making it unattractive to potential patients. Prevention of risks is not specific to this phase, Alex. We want to prevent risks occurring in all phases of the project. Assessing project size and complexity using the simple project matrix and matching up the right experience level of the project leader using the project management competency profile on the one hand and assessing quintiles planning, operational readiness, and operational performance using stage gate reviews on the other are both key parts of preventative risk management. Absolutely. Like I mentioned before, there could be delays around opening sites. There could be delays in investigational product availability. Ineligible patients could be enrolled into the study due to non-standard lab ranges and inclusion and exclusion criteria specified in the protocol. You must keep an eye on that. At this stage, you should mainly focus on defining customer expectations and requirements. Here, you will also make use of the risk management process steps Donna told you about. Well, like you can guess, this phase will require you to promote realized risks to issues and lessons learned on an ongoing basis. Right. You must document the project well in the integrated project management plan and capture the changes from the baseline using integrated change control via the change control log. This helps prevent the loss of tribal knowledge about the project when key team members do leave. Examples of major roadblocks would be incorrect estimation of screen failure rates and dropout rates. You will also need to oversee the activities of the project management analyst with respect to monitoring and controlling risks. Well, the PMA, in consultation with the operational team leads, is expected to use the project schedule to identify potential risks that are on the critical path and could delay deliverables further down the line, like the database lock. He is also expected to communicate the risk management tracking process to teams, identify new risks, and update the risk log on an ongoing basis. Oh yeah, totally. They monitor and control these risks and also, in conjunction with the project leader and OTLs, identify the risk owner and prioritize risks on the basis of probability and impact on quality, time, budget, and resources. Yes, absolutely. Be wary of any delays in collection of site documentation and meeting project close timelines. Be aware of any contractually specified bonus or penalty clauses that could mean loss of revenue for quintiles. You're welcome, Alex. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. I wish you luck with your study.